Welcome to the November 26, 2019 regular meeting of the Kingston Port Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chairs. Please identify yourself by stating your name. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda and subject to change. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? The flag is in the corner.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to call for an approval of the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda as written.
I second that motion.
Discussion? I have a point. Under number 14, recess to executive session, there's another RCW that needs to be added to that, which is 4230110.
G.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Needs to be added to that at the beginning. And also, after the executive session, there will be possible action taken. Under number 9, the October 2019, I do not believe we have the
financial report.
Correct?
Yeah. October report.
Okay.
December.
Okay, so we'll take that off.
Okay. Well, those adjustments, I think I will remove that we accept as modified.
And if I remove the second, does it have to become a third?
All in favor?
Aye.
Approval's agenda. Now it's time for public comment. You guys have the paper? So they can reserve, if there isn't reference to the public hearing, they should wait until they do it during the public hearing? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So if your public comment is in reference to the public hearing that's going to be taking place in reference to approval and input of the 2020 budget, which includes proposed mortgage rates, proposed capital projects that will be incorporated into the comprehensive plan and recreational plan, then you might want to make your public comment during the public hearing. Is there anyone on the list, Mark Romero, Ed Strickland, Mike Chesmore, Richard Osborne, or James Fosnes, that want to do it during the public hearing?
When is the public hearing?
Right after our public comment. It's next on the agenda.
Yes. James Fosnes will wait.
Thank you. Mike?
I'm not going to wait.
Okay. Mark?
I have a comment and then a comment at the public hearing. So
okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well,
Mark Romero?
Yes. My name is Mark Romero. I was a public servant in your community for 34 years before retiring this year. Last budget cycle, I was unable to attend. I was still working at the fire district. And so I wrote a rather lengthy letter to the board explaining my concerns about the comparisons between boards. And it's the first time in my life I've ever responded in a letter to a public official and had zero response. I didn't get a letter back. I didn't say, thanks for your comments. This isn't valid. Nothing. Just absolutely heard nothing back. And it was about a 3-page letter, and I detailed exactly what I was looking for. I confirmed with the board that the letter was sent. So I'm curious about that before we even start today. What happened with that? Did you guys get my letter? Did you just choose not to respond? What happened?
I'm wondering if that was during the time that Jim left. That's the only thing I can think of that would have, because my understanding, I remember the letter being received and I thought it was replied to. That was my...
We would always direct our executive director at the time to respond back to
that. Never received any response whatsoever. The comments on that are super germane to what continued to happen. So obviously I was concerned, and like I said, it's the first time in my life I've ever had public officials, three of them, fail to respond.
Right.
And normally we task our executive director to responding, that way it's a uniform
response. Regardless
of
who
response.
You
task,
I didn't get a response.
Could you provide us a copy of that again, please?
Certainly. I'm sure the court has it in their email system, too. I called and confirmed that they'd gotten it.
Okay.
But like I said, we're pretty far behind to respond to a letter written almost a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mark. Mike?
Yeah.
Mike Chesmore?
On a side note, I'm Mike Chesmore. I find that when dealing with the government agencies, Mr. Romero, you have to... send it signed, certified.
I did send a copy, a written copy also. I didn't just email.
No, certified mail, so you get somebody's name on it.
Okay.
Goodbye.
He was going to tarp again.
I don't know which issue to address first. I had asked that some consideration be given to make a dive park out here in the bay. I haven't heard anything back on that. Falls through the cracks. Like way back when I talked to Pete DuBoer and the other two commissioners, they thought, oh, great idea, and they started writing down on the paper, and I didn't hear anything back from those guys either. I also addressed the mooring balls out here on the lee shore. Anything going on with that? Are those going to be moved? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we know what you're talking about.
Okay. The other thing is, I'm kind of schizophrenic in that I have one leg in the boating community and one leg on the land craft community, and I like people from both worlds, and I asked some of my friends, hey, I haven't seen them in a long time, why don't you come into Kingston? They go, oh no, we don't want to come into Kingston. They charge us $5 just to walk up the dock. I said, what are you talking about? They say tender fee. Do you guys know that, and I haven't checked ever, but every marina that I've checked, including Port Townsend and PA, Oak Harbor, they don't charge for a tender fee tie up. I'm not talking about a boat with fishing poles. We know that's a fishing boat. But people that come in, drop an anchor, and row in or put in and tie it up, and they want to come up and buy some eclairs at the donut shop next to the auto parts store. I hear the port say, wait, oh, you want donuts? Give us $5, and then you go up and shop wherever you want to go. Why? Why is that happening? Okay. We'll get you in there. And the other thing is, I'm probably 24 years sober from drugs and alcohol. I don't even smoke pot. But when I go walking down a dock, to go to a slip someone's tied up to, and I'm not paying attention to where I'm walking, if I hit an anchor that's overhanging the dock, I'm going to own this marina. I've asked the guys to walk the docks every once in a while and tell people, keep their boats back. Keep the anchors away from overhanging the walkways. There's one on Delta Pier that has a road cone over it. What, I don't understand, what does that mean? That means don't park there, go around it? I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Does anyone not know?
No, we know.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. the cone on this one anchor's been there for 2 weeks. I'd be happy to jump on that boat, loosen the lines, and move back a couple of feet. Chihoy, I surrender.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Ed, you were raising your hand.
Oh, yeah, the...
Ed Strickland?
The dinghy, yeah, Ed Strickland, taxpayer in the Port District, resident and voter in the Port District, and owner in the Port District. The bay out there has had, in the past, transient, slumlord kind of transient moorage that the port allows access to the land for. And these people are not paying anything for being out there, and they're polluting out there, and they're degrading DNR property and fisheries. And that's the only hand that you guys have on that, is charging them something for coming ashore.
Come ashore.
And that's the least they can pay for what they're doing to the community. I just had to get a new DNR release. And I have to, if I have any liverboards at all, I have to guarantee that they are not discharging anything. That means I have to go through probably on a, if I did have a liverboard, I just do monthly all my boats and do the tablet test to the Johns. That means for a dive packet in, flush it, and see if it's coming out. And that gets to be pretty expensive, the labor and the time and stuff like that. And I think you guys are at that point where you're going to have to do something about the pollution that's caused by not only your little boards, but the people who don't obey the rules that come here as transient tenants. I mean, when you go out on a July day and all the boats tied up there and the soap is floating along the water, the scum that's on the water and stuff like that, that's because we're not taking care of our gray water problems, which are worse than the black water. Gray water is much more polluted than the black water.
Much more?
A pollutant than black water. Because you have all the chemicals that you use in your household and the gray water.
Thank you, Ed. Is there someone that walked in? No? Okay.
Can I take a few of the minutes that Mark Romero did?
Do you want to do it at the end?
I kind of like to address what Ed's talking about. We have three communities here that I didn't hear mentioned, living in the woods, making a far bigger mess than the people in the boating community. And not all the people that anchor out are transients. I've seen some boats out there, $1.5 million for one boat. Wouldn't call it transient, it just can't get into the marina. It would be nice to be able to get these people that live on boats, gosh darn those boaters that anchor out, that like the solitude, don't want people shuffling down the docks, drunk, bouncing off of other boats to keep their mess clean. But I'm happy to have them use our dumpsters. Come in, throw your trash there. Don't throw it away out in the bay. How do the commissioners feel about that? Because I was told by one of the people that work at the port, well, we charge them $5 tie-up so they can use our garbage in bathrooms.
Well, they probably are using garbage in bathrooms or showers. The other component that I think is important is that we have the ability, and it's free, for people to drive their boat over, unanchor, drive their boat over, and suck their septic out of their boat. And they're not doing that. They're direct discharging.
They do that in marine, too.
So that would be beneficial to get the word out that people are able to just come right over, right by the fuel dock, and pump out.
Who pays for that fee?
The taxpayers have a component of the sewage rates that we pay, and we received a grant several years ago now to have that pump out facility, and that pump out facility is there for that very reason, for people that are living aboard to come and pump out.
Yeah. People that buy license fees from Fish and Wildlife. You guys are paying more money than that.
Part of the original funding, yes, Mike. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that our sewage rates that we pay for the whole Fort Port facility, that's incorporated in that. So it's a benefit we're providing. We would like people to unanchor, come in here, and pump out. Please pump out.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't address my garbage. If I'm anchored out and I row in and I walk up to the port office, hey, I got my garbage here. Go ahead, throw it in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you want to tie up? Oh, go ahead, tie it for free. That's Paulsville, and that's Port Townsend and Olympia. Mm-hmm. Why Kingston, people are worried about, oh, well, they're going to throw their trash in our dumpsters here. I've taken photographs of, and I can give you the photographs of, mm-hmm. automobiles at nighttime coming in, throwing their trash away in our dumpsters.
Yeah.
And yet we still fill our dumpsters up with compost that's not keeping with the idea of going green.
Uh-huh, sure.
Why are we upset about people throwing their garbage in our dumpsters for people in other boats coming in from other places?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
Thank you for your comments, Mike.
Sure.
We're going to move on to the public hearing, unless there's anyone else that had a public comment in reference to that wasn't concerning the public hearing. We're going to open the public hearing. The Port of Kingston is holding this public hearing to receive public input on the approval and adoption of the 2020 preliminary budget, which includes the proposed mortgage rates and the proposed capital projects, which will be incorporated into the comprehensive plan and recreational plan. Greg, I'm going to initially turn the floor over to you.
So basically we put forward the budget, and this is a kind of a context. Is the overall budget, the point of this budget, what we're trying to do is to generate revenue that will ultimately preserve the assets that we have, the current portfolio of assets that we have. And so you're going to see not a lot of changes other than in the mortgage rates are the biggest change of anything. Change parking from $8 to $10 for the guests. But the mortgage rates will be probably the biggest change, I think, but that's what most people fear for. What we did was we went out and we did a survey, and you guys are everybody's, we can publish it if you want, we can put it on the website or whatever, but we're going through and we keep refining it. It's a living document. What we did was we went through 60 marinas and then we kind of documented what their rates were, and then we looked at where we were falling. But then we also did on our capital plan, what drove this in part was we're not just increasing rates for the sake of increasing rates. I think I got some feedback that people thought, well, you just are increasing rates because other people are charging more, so you think you can charge more. It's not the motivation at all behind this. We look at the capital plan, we look at what we have for capital reserves. So we're up at about $2.1 million currently, and we were down, I think, around $880,000 after we got taxed January 1st, was left up this year. And when you look at what the rebuild of that marina is expected to be, you know, I know up in John Wayne Marina, which is a very similar type marina,
they're about... Age too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And similar in age, exactly. So Port Angeles went through a pretty elaborate process. Now they came up with maybe what we believe might be a little bit higher number than I think that we need to really build out to, I hope. But let's just use that as kind of context here. I think they came up with around close to anywhere from closer to $16 million on the rebuild of the John Wayne Marina. They don't have any covered mortgage up there, to my knowledge. But and I went up and I walked those docks and I looked at a few others.
So we're conducting this capital program analysis, what we've been going through, and so we looked at that, and that was that's a big price tag, and so we're guessing it's going to be 12 to 16 million, and maybe we can do it for less money than that. Until we really get into it even further, we'll have to figure that out. But let's just say even on a $12 million, we have maybe 10 years on this asset before we're going to really be confronted with the rebuild of the marina. So it's a pretty simple calculation. If you got $12 million or even $10 million, and you have 10 years on that life, we need $1 million a year of reserves or net operating income of reserves that has to come from somewhere. So what's the sources of funds? And most of it's going to have to be borne by rates and fees. We can go out and get grants. The two grant programs really that are going to qualify, and this is if we get both grants from the state, from RCO, we'd have to get both of them. One would be the big program, and then one would be the boating facilities program, the BFP and the program. One is get you maybe $1 million if you get the full amount, and the other one is you qualify for $1.4 million. So even if we were somehow got both grants, which I don't think they'll give us both grants, but we might be able to use, like for dredge, we'll come out of one bucket of money and then the other one would come out of the other bucket. But so you might get $1.4 million, I think, for the from a source of grants. Maybe if we could, you know, we're trying to be creative about how we do this. Maybe we could spread it out over the whole life as we rebuild those facilities and see if the state would go for that. A lot of times, you know, they're to see what they come up with for the RCO. But in a nutshell, when you look at the capital program, you look, we have $2 million in the bank right now is what we've got. Our reserves are up to $2.1 million that we've been saving money. We cut back, you know, we're trying to cut back on some of the expenses and how we spend money and be pretty frugal and careful. And now we know we have at least a $10 million price tag, if not a $12 million price tag, probably in 10 years. So we got to get that, we got to figure out when you look at the financials, where are we going to get that money from? And the only place I really see it is through rates and fees. And we believe, doing kind of a, you know, as close as we can get for projecting this out, if we increase the rates slightly and if we can move towards a market average, we should be able to fund the replacement of the marina in 10 years without borrowing money, a substantial amount of money. We might have to borrow, we might have to take a bond out for a portion of it, but we have about $5.9 million in bonding, total bonding capacity for all of our assets. We probably have about $25 million in assets. I'm going to do, you know, get a pretty detailed at the capital. We'll come out. What we're doing is we're going to publish a real thorough capital plan that's across all assets that everybody can see. The one that we did here, you'll see in the capital program, is how do we fund the next 5 years? Because we're going to have to probably conduct another dredge program. The last one was about $750,000 plus. So I just look at the total between the maintenance and the replacement of those assets and where we're going to go. We think that with increases that we'll ultimately be able to fund it. It doesn't mean that we're going to just keep increasing for the sake of increasing rates, but what we also try to do is demonstrate that what people are currently paying is a pretty good value, it's a pretty good reasonable rate. Out of the 60 marinas, you know, we're in the bottom five currently for our rates. If we make this adjustment on the rates, and it's all, you can take, and I'll give you all the data. And
sure,
you can,
I got all the data, and I also issued a legitimate protest that this is hard for me to sit here and have that be accepted as fact when we fail to respond to legitimate.
Let's wait the public hearing, please.
We understand that.
But it's about respect, and we actually, when other people are talking, we don't talk. You're allowed a time to talk specifically. You're allowed a time to talk specifically in the agenda. Please wait until that time, and then you will be allowed to speak. Thank you.
So what we're trying to demonstrate, too, is not necessarily that that this is where the rate's going to be at or whatever. What I'm trying to just demonstrate with those rates when we looked at it was that The Port of Kingston has traditionally, over many years, been near the very bottom in terms of generating revenue for the marina. If that would have been, if you take an asset over a 30-year life, and you take a little bit of that money and the net present value, the time value of that money, by having a little bit higher rates over a long period, then you have, it's just like saving for retirement. Then you have that money set aside when you get there. And that, and unfortunately, we got down to where we were at $880,000 in reserves at the beginning of the year, and now we're at, going to be at, we're at 2.1. And the whole point here is that we have to preserve all of these assets. And the asset base, we haven't got down to the nitty-gritty completely on it, but we think it's probably at least 20 million, but closer to 25 million when we looked at everything. But that's the fishing pier and different things. And there may be sources of funding. And so we just took the marina as a line of business in and of itself. And then we said, okay, if we're dedicating the 2 million and also the tax money basically currently goes from any tax property revenues that we get, that actually goes into that marina fund already. And that's about going to be 211,000 this year. And that by resolution, that's been occurring. So that means that when there's capital improvements, but we can draw from that fund, and so that's why that fund, it basically goes up and down. But currently, you know, we have about 2.1 total in the bank, and but I'm just looking at how do we preserve that marina. That's the only object here, is how do we preserve the marina for future generations. There's not, and the only way I see it is, even if we get all those grants, is somehow we got to generate through rates and fees, or it's still going to have come through rates and fees to some degree. There's no, it's got to be a combination. But even then, the only other option is if we use all maxed out your bonding capacity of 5.9 to pay for that marina. But then you have nothing else for other assets or for economic development or other growth. So this is just, this plan is really pretty simple. It's like, okay, if we have a $10 million price tag minimum in 10 years, we got to start working towards generating $1 million of net operating income. We probably may not make it currently the way it is with our net operating income, but we're heading in the right direction. You know, this year we spent less. We try to do more, make sure we do more ourselves. We try not to contract as much work out. I mean, here and there, we're going to really work with both contractors and vendors to look at best practices and the best design and the cheapest way of doing it. If we can do more ourselves over years and replace those, there's options out there where I think we can reduce the, when I looked at the analysis that Port of Port Angeles did for their marina, I just felt like I think we can do better and we can do it for cheaper. And I don't necessarily don't need a Cadillac, but we just need to make sure that we preserve that asset for future generations. If we had been saving, if this had been over the whole life of that asset, you know, it's probably a 30-year asset, we saved 20 years and that was totally restricted and you couldn't use it for anything else and we didn't have dredge issues and other things that came up, you know, maybe we'd be there right now. It wouldn't be a big deal. We wouldn't need to adjust rates. But I honestly don't see any other way than to adjust some of the rates upwards. That's what this is. It's just to try to put us on a path now so at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel where there's maybe a gap and it's not going to be a huge gap. So if we'd have to use bonding capacity, okay, we feel like that is really, it's a community asset and gives people access to the water, and it's really important to preserve that. So that's what the primary thing, that's the primary driving force here behind the budget for the marine and the rivers. And outside of that, you know, it's still somewhat of a growth. I mean, we're expecting some increase in net operating income, and we're going to have to keep building and maintaining that. I don't know that we have a lot of areas. Here's the other thing. We have a pretty substantial wait list for the marina. People have been waiting years to get off of it. That usually tells you that, okay, that there's certainly latent demand out there, okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's just, okay, who's on the wait list? If it's people outside the tax, you know, the port district, or people inside the port district, there's always an argument, too. I don't want to get into that, into the picking winners and losers. We can't really do that. We have to kind of set the fees, and then we give public access to it. We don't say, we can't say, just because you're in the port district, that you're the one, you get first right of refusal on the thing. But But I would say that we're just trying to increase access overall. Also, there's other things that we would like to do that would improve access for more people in our facilities. You know, it would be nice if you have a lot more, you know, people that don't have a lot of money and just somehow increase accessibility. And we're going to explore some of those things. They cost money, too. And what we're going to do in this coming year, we're going to be applying for RCO grants for all sorts of, there's a lot of concepts that people have had out there for, like, the sailing floats and different things like that, where if we can get money out of the state and RCO money, then we have to have some matching, but it will hopefully will keep improving the access to the water for folks here. So that's the, and I know that you know, Mike's brought up like the dive park. We're going to be doing a bathymetric survey, and only this time we're going to do not only the marina, but we're going to do all the assets in the PMA that under our submerged lands. So that we actually have a good snapshot of what's out there in the water depths, because that the controlling water depth is really controls in part what you can use it for, and we'll look at opportunities to preserve, you know, to generate additional revenue there. But we have to kind of do our homework. So we're gonna look at every option that we can, and we're also, you know, I'm open to feedback. I understand. This doesn't do me any good to necessarily, I'm not, you know, happy about increasing rates.
None of us are.
Yeah. So that's not a recommendation, and it's not an end in itself. And I've heard, you know, discussions, I understand, about the profit. This isn't profit. It's like, it's just trying to preserve the asset. The money's got to be set aside. It needs to be it needs to be protected as much as possible, and there needs to be accountability as how it's spent. And I'm totally good with that, and I think that's the best way to go. So what we're trying to do here is develop a capital plan so that it's also absolutely transparent. You can see what we're spending it on. We can make recommendations. You can take public feedback, and then you can prioritize accordingly, and you can say yes or no. And we could save the money and not spend any money on sail floats or whatever for kids to get out. So that'll be a decision that has to be made. But I do think that, you know, I have a fiduciary responsibility to preserve the assets, and it's not just for today, it's for the future generations. Also, it's just getting trickier and trickier and more expensive. You know, just a permit, it takes probably, it's a 2-year process minimum now, and it's really expensive to get permits, and we're going to have to dredge, and the dredging is tricky too. It's a lot of work. We talked to the Army Corps about dredge. No, we're not going to see any relief from the Army Corps with regard to the breakwater or anything here. So we can ask, but we're not going to get any. There's not going to be any money from the feds. A lot of people think, well, there's this federal money that's out there. They help develop those assets, but it's on us now and the state too.
Statements to that regard.
And they're pretty clear on it. They don't equivocate about the deal. They're basically saying, I'm not thinking that we're going to get a whole lot of money potentially out of the county for anything. I think we're kind of here on our own. So that's the concept here behind this. And I do think, and I also think that there's other, you know, I've heard a lot of feedback about it would be great to have a haul-out facility. So if we're going to do something like that, whether we do it on this property, we do it on other property, we might be able to help other people to be able to develop property, be able to haul out facility, be great, I think. I totally get it where you get a full service where you can haul a boat out. And if we did a dry stack, it could be that there'd be a separate bay where people could haul the vessel out, and it would probably wouldn't be able to handle like 80-footers or anything like or 300-tonners, but it could handle the bulk of the vessels that we see in the harbor, because a lot of wreck boats, too, are not super heavy. So it's something worth that we'll look at in the coming year. We dry stack, and maybe we can set something aside. And I actually spoke with Mr. Osborne actually about getting a haul out of another facility, and I've been talking to other people about what assets might be out there where they might be interested in it too. Would be a shared facility. The haul out and being able to clean boats really a challenge. Yeah. I mean, we all know that, you know, the pharmacology in the state, it's got extremely restrictive, really, really tough. And what happens is, because I've worked with boat yards and shipyards, there's an economy of scale that's occurring where it's just knocking off the independents. It's just getting harder and harder to do it. So if you do it, the only way to do it, I think, is you have to have a building. It's got to be completely enclosed. You basically get the vessel in, you close it completely off, and then it's got to be cleaned and treated, and then the
water recovery system and
everything. It's got to be an all-in-one kind of a deal.
Heavy metal collection.
Yeah. And I could see, like, if we did it from scratch, doing something new, potentially, it's an option in the parking area. Because we also had, like, the boat haul out. I got to look and research that, because that was RCO money for the boat launch. And I think it's coming up. It's up close to
25 years.
Yeah, it's pretty. So it may be that it's sunsetted now. We're pretty close to where it gives us more options and opportunities to do different things if we were to redevelop that area here. So we're going to look at that through the coming year, though, is what I'm saying. And that's kind of also, that's in the budget and the capital improvement, but it's also in the comp plan. And that will just take really, like the commission we talked about, where it'll take public input. We'll talk about the concepts and the ideas. What do people really want to see here to increase the functionality, and then how can we do it, and what's the price tag?
Commissioner McClure?
The commissioners have talked at great length about these changes and the responsibility to the future as well as the present. And we get that the Kingston is a water community. We have the ferries, several kinds. There'll be more over time, we're pretty sure, looking at regional plans. We have Marina, and we have the Marina Park, both on the beach on either side and right there at the Marina. And we look at the Marina and all of the roles that the Marina plays and that the port plays, and we see a responsibility to the entire port district. Right now, there's a lot of people that think the port is just about the Marina. We get not so. And we also are keenly aware that marinas, public marinas, are having trouble. Shelton just basically gave their marina to the yacht club. Said, we're going to lose money, you guys do it. John Wayne is looking at a transfer of ownership, mm-hmm. on. And we're going through and looking carefully at who's in trouble, what does this mean for us, what can we learn from it. And so we're comparing mortgage rates. We're also going to be comparing all of the tax rates, because I think we're probably on the lower end. We're very used to being the wonderful little engine that could for very little money for all the port people, but in fact, it all costs money. And we have talked about whether or not, okay, so maybe 10 years from now, the marina goes private. And there's a big silence in the room when we have that conversation. We don't think that's what the port district wants. So as we look at all of this, believe me, I've been a tenant in this marina for 30 years, and I feel deeply about keeping it as affordable and accessible as possible. And on the other hand, the owning a boat, we all know it, a hole into which you pour money. And it's expensive. And we have to acknowledge that if we want to keep it good for all of us. So we're eager to hear what you have to say. If we have other little places that we can look at things differently, whether it's this year or next year, we're all over it. So what you offer is very valuable, even if you didn't get a response to your letter. I remember it. And so you have to share with us, and we will listen. We do listen. That's what I wanted to say.
I want to add to that as well, that some of the things that we've looked at in the past in this marina have been deferred maintenance. That's never happened before. That's been bubblegum and shoestring, trying to keep things together. And we're beyond that point now. We've got things that are going to fail. We've already had some things happen last winter. We had a miracle of the right people at the right place at the right time to take care of a piling problem. That if we wouldn't have had the right people at the right place at the right time, that pile would have failed and we would have lost quite a few boats because it was related to one of the covered areas. So it's really serious. The other piece of the puzzle is that what we were not aware of last year when we did our marina study is that we have to do this dredge because we have basically a creek of full of sediment pointing right toward the marina. That's why we've directed Greg to take a look at a bathymetric study to see the whole picture of what's going on so we can understand do we have some other mechanism that we can take a look at. Perhaps there's something we can look at with the creek itself or that particular design so that we can take care of that and get that some of those flows reconveyed somewhere else. We're looking at all these things, but all these things cost money. The dredge itself, some of you may be aware my regular job is a shoreline planner for Kitsap County. I've worked with many of the other marinas. The other marinas also have problems in relation to dredging. You look at Brownsville, for instance, it just went through a major redo there. They were able to get one of the grants that Greg was talking about, but it cost them a lot more money to do the related dredging internally there, and then the retrofit they had to do for the marina pier ramps and floats were also so expensive, and they even had staffing that they implemented a construction plan. That's some of the things we're looking at too here to be able to, because we have really excellent staff here. Maybe we can do some savings, and we're going to look at everything we can to save all of us. We're all in this together, and we just have to figure out some way to keep this marina going. But everything is so much more expensive now. Permitting is more expensive. The federal agency review that has to happen is a multi-year project and process. And we understand all this. What we didn't understand, though, last year is that we need to do an additional dredge. And that for me, was one of the things that compelled me to see that we've got to pencil this all out in a longer lifetime and really look at it this way in a comprehensive way and a long term as well. And that's some of the things. It's really difficult for us. We know a lot of people are, you know, on the specific incomes and things, but we've got to all just bear this together and really appreciate that you guys are here as well, for sure. But thank you for coming.
So I'm not going to talk at this time. I'm going to open it up to the public. Mr. Romero, you wanted to talk. You have 3 minutes.
Greg, yeah. You mentioned that in 10 years we have this fairly large obligation. I just retired from public service here in our community. And I would have never fathomed starting to save for my retirement 10 years before I was ready to retire. I retired. I put money away solidly for 34 years in order to retire.
Yeah.
Now, in doing that, I put myself on a budget, much like you're on a budget. And I don't go to Hawaii. I don't take vacations. My recreation is my boat. And I budgeted in there when I left the fire service. Here's my pension. Here's what I pay for my house. Here's what I pay for my boat. And I understand the cost of it. I can take some adjustments. But I didn't fathom that it would double burden, that it would increase at the rates, some of the rates we're talking about. It's not simply not in my fixed budget. So after being at 11 or 12 years and working hard in our community, I don't have the budget to support that. And part of it is because I didn't save the last 10. I saved for 30 years so I could be ready to retire. So what happened in preceding this, like, it seemed like last night you figured out we have a 10-year obligation. What happened prior to that time?
So can I just say something to that? The unfortunate fact is that everyone sitting at this table right now that had anything to say was not here during 10 years ago to make those decisions. We weren't here to make those decisions. But that is one of the reasons why we hired Greg, because when we had the three people to choose from, and in speaking with Greg, Greg had this ability that this financial way that he thinks in his mind, when you have to put those spreadsheets that you did onto the website.
Yeah, I'll put it on.
It was really amazing how he's projecting out and how he's saying, it's fascinating, and it really opens our eyes. And this last year was, we asked him, just start evaluating everything. We want to know where we are. We want to know where we can be in 10 years. We want to know what we have to do in 10 years to make sure that this marina is still here and that it is owned by the citizens of the voting district and not someone else. What do we need to do? And that's what he did and what he's still doing. And he's done a fabulous job of it. And I ask you all to look it over and to see what it shows and to see what it says and to at least look at it with an open heart and an open mind, okay? But thank you for your comments, Mark, and we're going to reread your letter, I guarantee it. Mr. Osborne, Richard Osborne.
Yes, correct before the horse, guys. The data and calculation of the market rate does not include any transfer cost and does not include a calculation of what a market is. You don't have a market the way it's calculated. It needs to be rethought and redone, and I think it needs to go back out for some additional assistance. Counting the rates from, if I count the rate for my vote in Detroit and Phoenix and the like, I could get real good lower rates. I don't know what the 60 are, but you have to include the transfer cost, and that's point number one. Point number two, you went up 8.7% last year. You went up 22.3% this year. Without a detailed financial plan posted for the taxpayers to take a look at, it's not on the website. I tried to find it. I don't know what you're going to spend the money on. You're saying, well, I might want to rebuild the marina. If you are in management, the way I taught it for 35 years, usually ask a question about what is the net discounted present value of the investment that you have, and usually don't try to ask current consumers to pay for what future consumers are going to be using. You have a marvelous thing called financing. You can get interest rates right now at about 1.9%, maybe 2.2%, and you can build your marina on a body of authority that is very possible in the next 10 years. The port, as it currently stands, or the current piece it has, is quite profitable. Because what you're doing is you're taking an accelerated depreciation charge out of the calculations. If you look at your net discounted cash flow, my estimate is you're making about 14% return on your investment, and you list the investment at $6.4 million, as I recall, rather than $25 million. So you need to cut your depreciation rate. You need to reduce your costs by increasing the fees on your purchase. Your parking now is an opportunity. If you want to do a market rate, then let's compare to taking the ferry out of Cambridge. That's about four times what you currently charge. So what you're doing is you're saying to us voters, we're going to take money from you and spend it on, we're not really sure what it's going to be, but we want to ensue the viability of the port. I'm all for the viability of the port. I'm all for fiscal responsibility. I'm all for detailed planning that is available to those of us in the voting community to take a look at it. We're here to help you if you so choose. But that's not what we have. What we have here is a generalized, hey, we need the money, therefore we're going to soak you, and we're going to increase your rates 22%. What's going to be next year? Another 22%? My rate's gone from $204 to almost $300. Now, I understand votes are expensive, but that rate of increase is not called for. You don't need the money now. The last point is, you're reducing services, and you increase the liability of the port dangerously when you decided not to provide an insurance program to help people who are supposed to be in their need. You reported on the website that some of your employees went over and above the call of duty and really helped some people out that were really in dangerous conditions. That's a liability that's not covered by your insurance policy, according to what you've been telling us. And I would urge you to take a look at the insurance carrier and figure out why that is not being covered by your hands in the past. So in summary, what I had, you got profligate rate increases without a detailed plan of where the money's going that shows the net discount of present value from each one of the proposed investments. You're showing where you might want to spend money. You're not showing how that pays off for the taxpayer. Two, you have a hidden liability situation in the insurance program that you have for the court regarding people that have difficulties with their boats. Boat breaks down in the middle of your marina, you have no provision to go and help those people. That's what happened last year. Fortunately, I've got a sailboat and I have that alternate way of getting around. So we have fewer services, higher rates, no indication where you're going, and liabilities. And I agree. We all want the port to be here. But let's take a business approach to what we're doing. Let's do the adequate planning that needs to be. I think a number of us here would be glad to have you do that. But let's get the cart before the horse. You do your estimates of what you're going to be needing, and then you go back and look back. I think that's what you're trying to do. So what I'm suggesting to this board is that they go ahead and get those calculations, get them out, get the full plan, all the information that you were talking about, and then decide what the rates are going to be. Not get the money and say, well, let's figure out what we want to do. Historically, what happens with that approach is the money will not go for the marina. It will go for economic development. It will go for services that some people think they want. The bottom line is this is a port. It's a marina. Now, other things are there, but its primary function is to be a port. So stop tripping off the people at 261 slips. You already do that for $800,000 a year. Yet the other sources of your income, particularly from parking, have gone from some $200,000 to almost $600,000 in a near market rate. You have potential sources of revenue that are untapped. For instance, you have a waterfront property that's rated for $22,000, that is way below market. You have a lease that you have granted to the people who run the yacht club that is about half what the market rate ought to be compared to what others do. So let's get the comprehensive plan and then decide. Not raise rates and then, maybe we'll do this plan later.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. James Fosnes?
Yeah, a couple things. I didn't do much research here, but what the 60 marinas that you did for the market rate, what's the geographical area of those?
Washington.
All over Puget Sound.
Oh, okay. So
Puget Sound.
You're comparing me to Maiden Bar and Maiden Bellevue.
all over the Puget Sound. They're cross-section.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't like the comparison to market rates, for example. It's like me telling the realtor my house on South Canal and they worth $1.2 million, so I want to sell it for $1.2 million over here. We have a different market over here. I mean, it's definitely a different market. That's why we live here. You know, you can't compare it to Shoshone or Bell Harbor.
And and you'll see, and I'll tell you, I'll put it on the website, and everybody can look at it.
But that's why this is kind of a false comparison.
So even if you compare, we're ranked 55th out of 60 marinas for price, and only Keyport, Brownsville, Paulsbo, and some of these are they're right near what we do or below us, barely below us.
And those marinas.
So what I'm saying is, that we're basically at the bottom for what we provide.
Well, we should be geographically. Yeah.
No, geographically. Even if you took geographic, we're right there. We're so low. Yeah, so, but what I'm saying, but here's the thing that I think we have that is important consideration. No matter what marina you have, for rebuilding that marina, you have similar cost structure and potentially a higher cost structure actually being on the peninsula. So it's really the capital plan and the demands, the potential demands. And here's the thing, I totally get, I also understand where you say, oh, in the future, but here's the thing. If we don't start saving money now, it will be too much money. We don't even have the bonding capacity to even think about replacing the marina. So, no, I'm just trying to say that that's the only reason, that's the motivation why I say, like, we got to generate some revenue now and save the money and earmark it. But I can tell you, I've heard these arguments before, and this is why we're here under getting more attention now, because it's compressing that time frame over, instead of being over a 30-year life. Over a 30-year life, if you wouldn't saving, this would be a walk in the park to fund this.
I understand the money. I'm just saying it's over market value to justify.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. Because it's a different market over here. Okay, same with my house.
Yeah.
The other thing.
And that's, I understand your point.
You talked about the long waiting list.
Yeah.
What about all the barrel boats? There are boats that aren't registered. There are boats with a foot of barnacles on the bottom of them that haven't been used in years. Is there something we can do about that? I know they're still making money. They're still paying you.
Yeah.
But there are people who want to use those foots and want to use their boats.
So we kind of have like a 4 or 5 point enforcement approach to this whole thing. They have to make sure we are enforcing on the registration, and we sent out letters, we're on them, and to the point we're threatening people, you're going to be out of here, you're going to be 86. They have to demonstrate insurance, they have to show that we're listed as additional insured. We increase the insurance requirements so that we're not assuming liability, we're trying to reduce the liability.
This will help too, very great.
Well, it does, because actually when you have a boat, you don't want to, and let's say it's a marginal boat.
Right.
And what the DNR and what other, and even what the economist, Paul Sorensen, he just said, by having too low a rate, what you do is you actually attract only the people that can't afford to pay that lowest rate, which increases your liability or exposure. Having said that, you know, that's not our motivational. We're just saying, it's like, look, if you meet these minimum criteria, and I agree with registration, we've tried to explain people the state's doing dock walks, and they're gonna nail you because some people just gotta put the sticker on the boat. I mean, they already have it actually, you know. So we are trying to do that. I mean, we have a buoy test. We call it the buoy test. We have to take the boat out and make sure that it's used. We haven't instituted where you have minimum a departure and arrivals per year to demonstrate that the boat is, you know, because it is, and I can tell you, it produces more economic benefit for people that use the boat than people that sit on the boat. And the other thing is that actually puts it at risk if people start diving on the boats, if they try to get around the rules, and then they're scraping it, and it goes in, because we got to do sediment testing whenever we dredge now. And, of course, over the many, many decades, you know, stuff's gone down there, and guess what? Now it's environmental remediation is what you're confronted with. So when you go to dump it, you got to go, and it's really bloody expensive to go get rid of anything that's dirty, even if it's submerged, right? And you disrupt it at all. So, point taken. If
Yeah, I'm on it.
We were like, you know, and I said, you know, I don't want to be, we're trying not to be hard case about everything. We're trying to say, look, because you got to, it's the rate of
change. See these votes that aren't being used.
It is. It's, a, yeah. It's the rate of change. It's the rate of change in what people can.
But sometimes, if you don't mind me jumping in, too, is that sometimes a vote that you don't think's moved has moved. I mean, you know what I mean? It might not look like it, but it has moved. And you're right on some of them. Right now, I'm requiring them to do the buoy test and stuff like that. But in defense of us, is that some of the voters that are, that you're speaking of, we've sent out notices to them. And so we do have a 30-day, 60-day, 90-day. And I can really get a lot of my wonderful voters down there in our family upset because Department of Licenses is beating on my door wanting to come down here because they're lacking money in their state entities, too, that they can come down here and see somebody without registration. And, man, there's a big fine. There's not going to be a warning. They're just going to do it. And they're doing it in the marinas that are real close to us right now. I got the Coast Guard. They want to come down and do inspections on the boats right now. And they're unforgiving, too. And now all of a sudden we had a new one at the WPPA. I mean, it blew me out of the water. Department of Revenue is going after people on their boats right now. They're coming down and just asking for... So, I mean, there's all these state entities that are don't have money, and they're ready to just ticket everybody. So, I mean, I'd hate to have them come down here right now. I'm keeping them at large. We all are, keeping them at large. But, boy, that's another can of worms that really hurt a lot of people. You know, if you're a month late, I'm putting your registration stickers on her. They're not going to care because they need that money, and they're going to fine you big time. So,
and these are just, you know, really common sense, but we're trying to make sure. But, you know, when you start changing things, it's the rate of change too, and we're not trying to be, we have customers. We're out of business without customers. That tax money's nothing. We could, I told the commission we could just take a haircut and forget tax money because it's not enough. If you get $2 million over 10 years, it's not going to get us across the finish line at all. We get the least amount of tax money, I believe, for any port in the state for our size. When you look at, you know, we're going to do $3.5 million this year. The tax money is marginal, and we don't have a big port district. You know, we have 12 ports in this. It's not going to change much. The rate, you know, the property taxes, you know, that's going to go because whether we like it or not, all these houses are going to get worth a lot more in our, you know, in the coming 10 years. I think it's going to be a big deal, but it won't translate to a whole lot. The most we can get is $500,000, and usually you take that money, and that should be absolutely earmarked and protected for capital investment and capital infrastructure to you know, replace these assets or repair them as you go. Because I don't believe in deferred maintenance. I believe I have my cars. All have, you know, 100 plus thousand miles or 200,000 coming up. I drive it to it until it makes no sense that I have to put so much money into it. So we're trying to be, you know, that's what, you know, Ray and I, we talked about too, about whatever we can do to build those stocks out, you know, over time, and then we'll replace them. And I've talked to a number of different marinas and talk about, hey, how do you institute these changes that we can really control, keep our costs down? Because I know that the commission, you know, they're not exactly thrilled about this, to say the least. So, you know, we're trying to do it, you know, really smartly, and we're working with local people here too, you know, that are pretty savvy, that are, you know, like Pacific Netting Products or other people like that. You know, they do dock systems, and you got to think smart. You know, we can try to do it for cheap, but if you got to replace it within, it's not working very well. The other thing is, honestly, you know, if you look at a lot of these, what's going to be sad, I hope it's not true, but when I go and I go into these marinas, I've walked so many marinas on the peninsula, and you look at it, and they don't know how the heck they're going to be able to preserve those marinas. If you go to Paulsville and you look at that breakwater there, those pilings, they're hurting. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, and I have friends. I go on those boats. I'm totally into the water. I spent years on the water, more on commercial land, not as much wreck. But it's we're sensitive to it. I mean, we, you know, and the commission is totally about the community. They're not. They have no desire about making money, making a buck off of anything that they don't have to. They're not. That's not what drives us. It's totally mission driven and. And we want to preserve and actually improve access for families and different people over over all the coming years. You know, it's a real, it's an amazing asset here.
James, did you have anything else you'd like to say?
You said we have to rebrand again.
Yeah.
Is that an ongoing thing then?
We hope not.
But there's another thing tied to that too, is that last time we were required to do mitigation. That was, I think, about $100,000 to do mitigation.
Okay.
And we don't know yet if they're going to require additional mitigation.
So that was moving the grass,
And the grants that you were talking about, the RCOs, are they ones concerning, because I know some of the RCOs you're not eligible for if you have locked gates, that public does not have access to the docks. Do any of those RCOs fall under that criteria?
They all come with strings attached. And it depends on what it is. But like one of the grants, you can use it for dredging, so that's what we're looking at. The other thing is, what's really critical is we have to position ourselves so we're even have access to that. Because if you miss the cycle, it's a 2-year cycle, it's a biennium cycle. If you miss the cycle and you don't have your ducks in a row and have all that drafted and have the grant drafted up and ready for submittal, and you make sure that you vet it with, I met with people that sit on the committee for the review of those projects. Laura and I had lunch with somebody I used to work with, and she said, "Greg, you better be sure that you have your ducks in a row, because they rejected one for a major, like a jetty work project, at another port." And she said, "We just told them you didn't cross your T's on this, even though they had done an awful lot of good work." And so then you miss a 2-year cycle, so it's 4 years then, you see. So you really got to have your act together. You got to get super organized, and that's when, if you look at our capital plan, overview, look at this. We're doing this for all assets through the whole port, and every one of these, there's a project description that goes with it, and it has what grants we might be able to apply for, and then we're doing all that due diligence, all the homework as fast as we can. I will. Yeah. But it's a work in progress. It's a moving document, and I'll tell you something. I tell this to the commission. I know that I'm super conservative, and you may not agree with it, but I don't count on grant money unless I get it, because you can wish in one hand, and I look at it, but I can tell you that if you really do your homework and then you go forward to the state or whomever, and you basically make their job as easy as possible for them, because they have to review an awful lot of work, and they know you've done your homework, then you have a really high likelihood. But that won't get us across the finish line. That will only, and then that money, if we save that money, we get a grant, that's money that goes into the kitty, and then that takes pressure off of us. I don't have it, so I also can't spend it yet, and I'm just trying to put a plan together that I think is sustainable. And by the way, I have reduced rates actually before. After the 08 crisis, I reduced lease rates to companies that I worked with, because they didn't have their construction company, they didn't have a single intake. And I remember in October, November, December of that year, and they go, "Greg, what do you want? I don't have one single permit coming across the finish line at the city or at the county. So what do you want me to do? I got no revenue." So we cut rates in half. So it isn't like I am flexible up and down on that. So it's a consideration.
Mr. Osborne?
Yeah, my question is, is this 22% increase a one-time deal, or are we going to see 22% next year, 30% the following year, until you're comfortable, or what? Now, the argument that we rest upon is, what is viable for the long-term development of the port? I think we all agree that's where we want to go. Yet we don't have the information on the website to make that determination. And we are also subject to a number of other constraints about what we mean by market, what we have to do to to satisfy the market.
True.
And I have yet to hear that discussion.
These are my copies. Pardon?
Are you keeping a list of the people you're calling on?
Here.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And you are next.
Yep.
Mr. Strickland, Ed Strickland.
75 years in business, 38 who bought a property, 37 who bought a property, from the people who bought it in 86. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So 1886, 1937, we're the only second owner of the property. Been able to maintain this marina since 37. I've been involved since 1941 in it. I've involved in the rebuild four times. I know a little bit about how the costs go, and it's a damn expensive. The last piers I put in costs more to remove than the new stuff going in, because every pier down there is hazardous waste.
Mm-hmm.
And you either have to separate the styrofoam from the concrete, which costs huge amounts of money, or you have to dump those concrete floats in a hazardous waste site. So they've got tremendous costs here that they're looking at. Every one of those piling that down there have to be replaced. I don't know if they've got any legal piling down there anymore. And they may not be able to use galvanized steel in the future because of the zinc coming out. So they're going to be using fiberglass piling, which costs an awful lot of money. And you better have that money. And then, how many people in the marina are taxpayers in our district? We cannot...
A little less than a third.
Yeah. We cannot allow people who are taxpayers in the district to have preference over everybody else. That was the Edmonds decision.
That's illegal.
That's illegal. And I was part of the Association of Independent Moorage lawsuit against the Port of Seattle. You guys are familiar with that. And the port has to go to market. And the Port of Seattle runs a survey every year. Greg knows, he's kind of part of that, to find out what that market is. And they charge it. And we do not want to get into a lawsuit because we'll lose. Because it's already been settled in the Superior Court, you know, in Kent County. It was never even appealed. It was such a decision that was so pam, where it's not worth appealing. So we need to go to market, and then there's a question on what does market mean. But also market means what people will pay for the mortgage. I offered $500 a month for his stall. He won't give it up. So that's market. We just did that talk about this morning. I have offered $500 for his stall. You guys could work it so I could take his stall for $500. I know we could do that.
That's preferential treatment.
But the market is also what you need to make to keep this thing running. And I have tremendous confidence in Greg and all the maintenance people. And the problem with the maintenance people is they don't have enough. Because we have a little question about anchor. Well, he hasn't got time. I mean, there's... Every time you do check somebody's anchor, at $100 an hour, your overall cost probably for that person.
Yeah.
Remember, that's where they get paid and what it costs are two different numbers. And $100 is about normal now if you want to take your cost. No, you've got to raise the mortgage rates if you're going to keep the mortgage. But you don't have to have the mortgage if you're going to be a port district. You can get rid of the mortgage. If it's a loser, you can get rid of it. Or you could send it out. There's a little group. You guys all know the group.
Yeah.
And they'll take it over. And they will run it because they own six marinas in Seattle and they own more parking lots than anybody else in the city. And that's Diamond.
Yeah.
Diamond will come in a minute. He'll come in and right now if he wanted to sell that marina, he'd probably give you $50 million for the whole thing. $50 million would be it. So you want to know the value of it? What would they have to give you for it? I mean, he's offered me twice now huge amounts of money for my marina. I mean, it's a lot. That marina is worth a hell of a lot of money. Remember, there's a state lease there off the ferry property. That's a hell of a lot of property.
Yeah.
This port district has an awful lot of value. And this is just a chicken feed. This should go up. The reason it's so low, and you hit it on the right nail on the head, because we've got a boat down there that I'm beat up, and I think it's the worst boat in the whole range. And guess who owns it? Pat, Port Commissioner.
No point.
And you talk about Port Commissioners, and they had a little trouble. I know some of them, and they weren't exactly good business people. In fact, I helped one of them carry his beer down to his boat, and he dropped a case of glass beer. Anyway, that's the kind of more running we had on this port. This group is the best I've ever seen. I mean, this is a good board commissioners. And I think we need to do what they want us to do and not complain about it. And remember, there's only a few of us in this, or the 4,000 or 5,000 voters in this district that have votes that ran. There's only a few of us. So are we providing the people who live in Edmonds with cheap merch? Okay.
Mr. Osborne, you had something further to say?
Yes, Dr. Osborne.
Dr. Osborne, you had something further to say?
Yeah, I'm going to respond in the following way.
Did these guys?
This is a port, is a public entity not designed to make money, but designed to provide services to its community. So when we do that, we have to ask who we're serving, and that includes a broader community than this individual. That doesn't bother me in the least. The issue of what the market is, how we make that criteria, is a more complex question than we can answer today, but it takes more study and more analysis. I think we're all on the same page in terms of what we want to see for the point. The question is, how do we get there? And how quickly do we have to get there? And what is this long-term plan? I haven't seen any long-term plan. All I've seen is a sheet of we're going to go up this year, and maybe next year, and God knows how we're going to be doing after that. Let's get our ducks in a row, and then we can maybe increase even more than we're anticipating right now if we know what that plan is going to be. Right now, you don't have analytics available to you to justify that this is a 22% increase, 20%, 15%, 7%, you don't know. As you say, it might be 10 million, it might be 20, it might be 5. And it may not have to be done for a continued, maybe 10, 12, let's decide. Let's get the numbers, and then let's figure out how we get the revenue. We got the cart before the horse.
Thank you, Dr. Osborne. Would any other of the public, Mr. Anderson?
Yeah, Brian Anderson. Just wondering, are there any assets that we might consider selling? Or major, I'm just thinking about the Mill House property as an example. And that, I don't know if that...
I think you need to look at every asset for sale.
One of the things with the Hill House is that it does have an existing small dock. We're looking at that as a possibility for perhaps some recreational opportunity for paddleboarders, or some kind of way to look at that asset and do an improvement with that to also make that water access for the rest of the ratepayers that we have in our district. So that's some of the other things we're looking at to get rid of that asset. I think because there's not a big expenditure, nor could we really get that much money for it right now, in this market. So to get rid of that, I think it would be
wrong,
premature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, technically though, every asset's for sale potentially. So you always look, you should always kind of be looking at a buy, hold, sell position. But the reality is for court districts and for a public agency like this, that's usually you acquire an asset without, unless you're going to like develop it and then turn it and then you take that money and that goes towards economic development. But usually there's a, you know, there's a core set of assets where when the court district, when the commissioners, when they acquire an asset, it's to hold it indefinitely. And that's why courts were created, is to preserve that access and by keeping that asset, those assets in the public domain, that preserves access for the public indefinitely. You can put whatever you want on top of it for the use, but you know, that's originally why ports were created, was because you had the rail bearings and the shipping magnets that were controlling the waterfront, privatizing everything, and so that's when they created port districts. And port districts in this state are especially unique because half of the ports in the United States are in the state of Washington. And it was partly, these were created partly just because like the Mosquito Fleet way back when, which you're kind of seeing resurrecting now with regional transportation. So if you, you know, once you sell those assets, it gets harder and harder to ever to acquire them again if you need them. So usually it's a buy and hold strategy, and then you turn around, you take those assets. Should we be monetizing them or figuring out how to generate revenue off of them? Yes. Just like any asset, any line of business, we should be trying to, you know, go to fair market value. And of course, you get into what's fair for whether it be parking or any other use as to what's reasonable, and also what's the rate of change. Where, you know, how fast can you change it before, if you overcompensate, all of a sudden you take a big drop in demand, and then you're actually behind. Now you got to catch up and turn up. And it's not, you know, it'd be nice. I'd love to say, like, you know, my brother's an economist and a professor, and so I look at it, and we, you know, and I talk to Paul Sorensen, who's well known in the port industry for, he does all this marine analysis, and there's always ongoing. It's not as exact of a science as they would like. There's a lot that goes into it, so it's an imperfect world. But I don't, you know, I'm not recommending necessarily that we sell anything, but people bring the question up in the port district. They say, hey, we should consider it. So I think it has to be an option based upon the constituents of the port district, the voters, the owners.
Acquisition of those assets part of what prevented the port from saving money for the last 20 years?
They were acquired how many years ago? Prior to you, right?
2014.
I mean, that's where some of the money went, for sure. Absolutely.
Commission.
Yeah.
I guess you guys were not in. I wasn't saying that. I realized.
I understand. I understand.
I'm just trying to figure out the history because I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me how much it was. It was chicken feet.
Yeah.
And you could tell it now, it hardly paid a sales tax on what you do.
Well, and even in that past, we had additional. You know, ratepayers' taxes were actually going to the marina restoration fund as well.
By resolution,
even back then. I think maybe that happened about that same time.
The one thing you need to do is start looking into the county and rezoning that for.
Yeah.
We are.
And you have some very powerful things.
Yeah.
Isn't the county 200 feet now?
Say that again?
Yes.
So you've got a water dependent use where a person who buys that to put their house on it hasn't got that.
Yes.
So it's worth a heck of a lot more as a marina property than it is as a residential. And
we're already talking to people about that.
And remember, all of your parking is water dependent.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's a powerful thing
because
most people with parking lots do not have a water dependent.
Yeah.
You guys got the biggest water dependent.
Yeah.
We are one of the only ports too that is able to charge for parking. They've done it all along. But a lot of them have come to us at the WPPA conferences and said, "How did you do that?" We said, "We didn't do it. It's been going on for quite a while."
This county has said, as Mr. Ogburn says, we're doing things for other people, so other counties. This both did. I just watched over 200 people walk off last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that isn't just Kitsap County.
Yeah.
And so we should get a little payback on that, and our port district's in a position to get payback on that, the parking. And it's one of your profit centers. And I don't think we should take the attitude, oh, we're going to do this for the good of the people. We should take this as we're going to do the good of our community, and we're going to charge the people for the parking as a profit center for the poor to do stuff for the poor. And with ports, we rent buildings to make money. Mm-hmm. I mean, the airport for Seattle.
Yeah.
I'd like to just comment briefly to that since we're in that mode. I've been involved in regional planning, transportation planning for a long time, and you can't have a single node that is only about itself. It has to fit into and serve the whole thing. That said, I think that having the marina here, even if nobody from Kingston moored their boats there, is serving Kingston. Because, in fact, despite the, I don't know who said it earlier, it might have been Mike, that, we're not going to go and tie up there. The fact is people do, they do come and use the restaurants, they do come and shop in town, and it is kind of the part of the core of Kingston. And so who's it serving? It's actually serving all of us, and my sense.
It would service a lot more if that boat that has got 8 inches of barnacle on it was a $200,000 boat that was used quite often. When a boat just sits there, it is hurting Kingston in terms of all the things the Port District wants to do. So
I will take that upon myself to do something.
The rate increase means
thank you,
that
Ray.
You get more expensive boats in there and you get people that spend more money.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And right, it puts people to work in Kingston, and then we can use that money.
Yeah.
Dr. Osborne?
One of the questions that you might want to put up for future is the configuration of the charges. You have a very short waiting list for ADOC, a modest 6 months,
Actually, I've only had two people turn over on ADOC, just not to interrupt you here, but...
I'm just going by the website, that's all I have.
It's probably about more like 2 years out for ADOC, I would say.
Well, it has a calculator there, that's where I'm on my data. But when it gets to the very much larger boats, then it's a long time. And maybe what we need to do is to take a look at, rather than having a step, is to have an exponential rate increase at the higher end.
I would rather have my dock in my boat instead of in VDOC. I'd rather have it in rack storage. Because I just call up, right, and say, I'd like to use it today, and it's there. And then the rest of the time, I don't have to worry about it. And then I want to convert those square footage. Remember, you cannot add more square footage to your marina without a heck of a lot of...
Oh, it's a major.
Yeah, so you want to preserve every inch of square footage you can.
Yeah.
And you can reconfigure it, and you probably won't have to pay a heck of a lot of retribution to the
Ms. Anderson?
Yes, I just wanted to, Lynn Anderson, I just want to make a real brief comment. The study that was done, I think it was a couple of years ago on mortgage rate, did take into consideration both fair market value rates and grants of marinas as well as the cost approach. And my recollection is that the cost approach would have increased the rate much higher. It's a very realistic approach. It's what Greg is trying to wrestle with in terms of the costs that are needed to maintain the marina. I just wanted to put that out there that it was considered both ways, which came in the market increase, the market rate increase was actually less, and that was taken into consideration for the voters that are more at the marina. And then the second thing was with regard to any waste that's being discharged from boats that somebody sees should be reported to the Washington State Parks and Recreation who monitors that. The fines are actually very substantial.
Yes.
So.
Thank you for your comment. If there are, yes, please, can you state your name, please?
Yeah, thanks. I'm Dave Benson, tenant on CDOT. I've been for about 10 years, I guess, but I just came down here to put faces to names and see what I could learn and have a lot to say, but I did go over online the capital budget this morning before I came down here and learned a few things. The one thing that I didn't really see that I learned here was the 10-year out goal of replacing a marina. It never occurred to me, of course, but I guess you know. The idea of replacing a marina, it's hard for me to get my mind around. I don't quite understand. I understand replacing pilings and docks and covered moorage, but when you say replacing a marina, I think it would be helpful for the public to know what are you talking about when you say that, what did Port Angeles do for their money in comparison, say. But it wasn't on the website about you have 5 years out, but not 10. So I don't like to pay more mortgage any more than anybody else does. But if you're going to explain it, you better explain the 10-year out and sort of why that is a goal that you're shooting for. One other thing jumped out at me was over $500,000 of parking revenue. That's a big number. I'm not too far behind the mortgage. And as several gentlemen have spoke this morning, it should be a place you would look hard at, whether it's raising rates, which I'm not a big fan of either. Nobody likes to pay more parking. We all have family and friends that come visit us over here. But you have more property, and right now it's not being used for public access. I understand the importance of that, but temporarily could it be used for some parking? I'm sure there's lots of regulations and hoops to jump through for parking, but when you see somebody right across from your parking lot to gravel the parking lot, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, what it could be used. So, it's another source of revenue. And finally, you know, the users come in here, and I see an awful lot of commercial users on this dock, and whether it's tribal, non-tribal, gooey duck, crab, salmon, there's a lot of use. And is the port getting any money from state landing fees, or has the tribe ever been talked to about partnering or anything like that? And so those are my comments.
Yeah, we just met with the Squamish, and I think that we need to look at, you know, everything, you know, in terms of also there's like, you know, it's really tough to say, okay, what's common practice and what's enforceable, because, you know, I look at landing fees, you know, they're so problematic to enforce. Plus, a port is not an enforcement agency either. So that's, and the other thing is they come and they fish, and then what happens if you know, they can land wherever. And so it's also the dynamics have changed even between all the tribal fisheries, so that now they basically go outside, they can go fish anywhere now. So all of a sudden you'll have people that migrate down here from Bellingham or Blaine to go fish out here, because the Suquamish, you know, have, you know, pretty modest fishing fleet, and they're local. But, you know, I'd say, you know, we talked to Leonard and Rob Purser and Leonard Forsman, and they're... we had a good discussion with them. I mean, they're pretty, you know, they understand. I mean, it's critical to what they do and who they are. So I know what you mean, Dave. And
there is, to add to that and to kind of partially answer, that the commercial trucks that do come and meet the fishermen, they are charged annual fee that they pay to come here, park, you know, use parking space, if you will, and then the boats unload product. So they go into the refrigeration trucks. Those trucks then individually charge.
But they pay the landing fee like a dinghy does when they come in?
Oh yeah, they pay your mortgage fees, and they also pay, and then we...
I mean, when a boat comes in and unloads, they pay us.
Oh yeah, they pay.
Yeah.
Yep, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then we are out there, and we really spend out there, I come out there, you know, and they seem actually really pretty good about when they come in and land, they, the trucker, you know, the people doing the trucks, they pay the fee, and they, you know, the honors. more than the honor system. I think they're used to paying it. You know, they just come in and they have professionals coming in. And in Suquamish, you know, obviously they're trying to do more processing themselves with their new seafood plant, so and do value added. And so, you know, they're all, I think they're, you know, they're being above board about the deal.
You said that the money that was paid for the boat launching ramp, that grant's 25 years coming up, so it's then yours uh-huh. to do what you want. And wasn't that originally for just pleasure boats?
Right.
Not commercial?
That's correct.
And we've been using it for commercial, which we'll be able to use as soon as it ramps up.
Yep.
And you can rewrite it. And then it would be really easy just to call up the state and come and find a port when somebody brings a boat up that ramp and goes over to their faucet and washes it off with a bleeding bottom man. What would the fine be? Because we're not enforcing it. You are creating a nuisance by having the water there. If you turn the water off, they could wash it and you wouldn't be, but you turn the water on and a bladed boat with bladed bottom paint comes on and washes that thing off, it's going right into this bound. And really, I would remember I was in prison Northwest Main Creek when we did the boatyard permit.
Yeah.
If you're really running a boatyard, you have to have, when you're washing them out of the boat, you have to have collection.
Yeah.
And I see that all the time, and I just
and there's argument about invasive species or transfer. I mean,
thank you.
How that whole program was created.
So there's a heck of a lot of money we need to spend to catch us from getting into big trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what we're asking for when we're raising rates, asking for money to do it right.
Yeah.
So, cheap on the cheap,
like
we've been in the past.
Yeah. And I would agree, Ed, we really do need to do it right. It's just not, it's not worth it anymore, the trouble, and you think you can get by with something, and people that, you know, and we're not remote either anymore. So, you know, if you go out into these remote areas in the state, there's, you know, the coasties or everybody, you know, they're not going to drive all the way. It's not as easy for them to go all the way through and they get their budgets cut. So even trying to drive out or, you know, so there's just, but we're really in the urban area for all intents and purposes in terms of enforcement. It's nothing to come to Kingston. You can be here in 35 minutes from the capital of the port, and then you got about a 10-minute bike ride to the Sector Puget Sound as an example. So, you know, I'm big on just following the rules, to be honest. It's just at sea or whatever, you know, you just don't try to mess around with it. You better really, really know what you're doing, and you better be lawyered up in case you run across trouble. But it's just better. I think everybody can comply, and honestly, we have an awful, I think the customer base is really great.
The whole thing changed from that very way.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting next to a millennial on that ferry, and that millennial's making 200 grand or more.
Right.
He's riding an electric bike down to Amazon down in Lake South Lake Union, mm-hmm. and it's only a 10-minute ride for him, and they're going to have much better transportation. And all of a sudden, the houses next to me are selling for way more than they sold for. I mean, like double what they sold for a few years, because we are now Winslow.
Yeah.
Same distance, time-wise, to Winslow. Mm-hmm. And this is a great community to start with, and it's a great, so people.
And, you know, last year we increased our parking to $135 a month, monthly. I pay $145 to keep my parking spot right at the ferry on Bainbridge Island, for example. I hate paying that. But if I give it up, I'll never give it back, get it back. And my wife has to go over on business quite often. And so, you know. But we have increased our parking rates pretty significantly. And we didn't know what the effect was because we went from $85 to $135. So to various people's points, it isn't. But we also have excess capacity. But, we need to get that rezone, and that process could have started, or maybe, you know, we're starting that process already on looking at the rezone of assets and increasing parking capacity because there's, but we... We don't have a big wait list per se on the parking right now, but all of this is how do you utilize any asset and submerged land, those Hill House property, the Top property, our parking, whether we increase the densification through dry stack storage. Those are things we're going to be, the commission has directed me, like, we got to get on it, and get on it now, and we are. You know, we're going pretty fast. We have, you know, 10 staff. We're trying to do what we can as fast as we can. And we're trying to be transparent, but to everybody's point, we will put this on the website. It's not that we're not looking for scrutiny. It's an ongoing process. We've been working on that capital program. It's a life cycle plan for every asset. But we had to get 5 year first, which we did, you know, so that we can maintain continuity of operations, maintain revenue streams. That's critical, so that we have cash coming in, and then we're trying to be super careful about, you know, how we're spending that money and transparent. And so we're getting really detailed. Last year's budget was 1.8 million just under, and we did 3.5. That's not a good budget, right? This year, but it is what it is. But some of those things it's hard to anticipate everything. But this year, we're going to do 3.2 is what we're anticipating. And you should know where the money's coming from and where it's going, and you should be able to read our financials. And we've been working, and we have Wendy McDonald as our controller now, and we are going to give good information. You have a reserve. The report on the reserves is in the budget.
Yep.
You can see what account has how much money in it. Okay, you could track that. We look at it every month. We put it into a, you can look at all this, so that we're trying to be transparent, but I feel like, I'm not a big believer in also in burdening the future generations with debt. So, we've had beneficial use of it. I feel I have an obligation to try to be more fiscally conservative, I think, than what's, And also, if you take a risk, and let's say we go and we try to go after some big business or do something, you have to understand there's a risk. And so when I do business deals, I will say to them, I try to bake into the cake everything possible to reduce risk to the port. So we have income stream, they get a bond, or you can even take political insurance out. There's a lot of things, but there's risk. And I don't believe the insurance rates are going to stay where they've been for this past decade. Nobody expected it to be a decade that we see this, but the cost of capital, I can't believe, is going to maintain at 1.9 to 2.2. That is what we borrowed at, but on our money, we're only making 1% through the county as a treasurer. So we're taking about 1.2, is what our cost of capital. But it was critical because I didn't feel we had enough liquidity. So we're making, so in here you can attack the assumptions, but we talk about what do we need to do to have reserves for operating, for emergency, and for debt service. For those are the three buckets. And there's more we can get super fine-tuned, but those are the three buckets that I'm just starting with that I think that they could cover pretty much everything that we have. And then we can talk about it. And I don't disagree that there's more homework that has to get done and that we need to put it out there. You can see exactly what our assumptions are, but we're putting a lot of time and effort into getting this. And we're not a big fan of them. I don't like it. I'd rather, I've lived modestly my whole life, and I know that my retirement, I should be good to go. And I probably won't change my behaviors because it's part of who I am now. Even if I inherited money, which I won't, but, I don't know why I change, but I feel like the same way. If we feel like financially we're on a good path, then, and this is rock solid, we're securing our revenue streams, making sure it's okay. Just like we did over the wait list, I had Ray call everybody on the wait list to see whether that was real or not. It's not easy to always determine that, but we know that we have at least 5 to 10 boats on that wait list that are viable for every dock and pretty much every slip size.
It's expensive to keep up a wait list.
Yes, it takes time. Yes, it does.
And it's one of the biggest problems.
We ask them to pay $25 a year to stay on this list.
Which we've been.
If you're going to keep track of $25, and it's not worth $25 to keep track.
That's up to Ray.
Well, we've recommended in the budget we've increased the wait list fee, and I think one of the constructs we thought about, we're noodling it. Remember, this is all of this is these are living documents. Yeah. Like, these are living, these things can change, but we thought, well, maybe we increase the fee and they get the feedback if they don't get in within some time frame. You know, within 5 years, and you sit, if you're on a wait list for 5 years and you've been paying in, you get the money back, or maybe get a credit against your mortgage when you come in. Something like that. So we get real people, we want real wait list, but I don't want people to think that because we have a wait list and it's only $25, it's maybe not real demand. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Because it's so cheap that some people are on a wait list, they don't even have a boat, so they couldn't respond to us maybe in time, or maybe they could. They could be on three wait lists.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but you know, you see what I'm saying? Because sometimes people use the wait list also. There's a lot of different arguments about what fair market value, how to establish fair market value, and different things. So wait list is one of them.
So if there are no further comments, I want to close this public hearing by telling you all, I said it at the last meeting, but there was only one person in the public present at our last meeting. So the commissioners and our ED and the entire staff attended a All-American Leadership gathering, and there was just, it was just for us. It happened here at the Village Green. And we all got together and we talked about the port and about us and how we function and how we communicate and how we want to be. And I wanted to, in closing the public hearing, I wanted to read to you the purpose statement after a day and a half that we came up with for the port. And this is going to be our purpose statement. Serving what matters today with a view for tomorrow. That's what the whole group of us came up with, because that's how we all feel about it, that we are serving today for what's going to happen tomorrow. And our core values that we came up with were integrity, dependability, stewardship, hard work, and empathy. But I just had to share those in closing our public hearing. So we're moving on now to our consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. These are the November warrants, the approval of the August 6, 2019 special meeting minutes, the August 13, 2019 meeting minutes, the August 28, 2019 regular meeting minutes, the October 23, 2019 regular meeting minutes, and the October 28th all ports meeting minutes. Commissioner McClure pointed out that, were you the only one to attend the all ports last month or in October?
Yes.
Okay, so they don't have to be approved, but we will go ahead and adopt them.
We typically
them into our,
do, I think,
yeah.
It's best to,
exactly.
to have that information available. Yeah.
So do I have a motion? By the
I so move.
I second.
Any discussion?
Are we
no
talking
discussion.
About then the
oh, sorry.
Overall warrant?
Yes.
We do have one item, and I'd like to propose a quick little correction to the August 28th meeting notes, where it has, there's a slight error there, is that it had said that Commissioner McClure was excused. She was indeed at that meeting. So we do have just a slight little correction to do for that August 26th. So we'll just move her over to Commissioner Present.
Because as was noted in the meeting further on, she made a motion.
Yeah,
in that
she
meeting.
Makes motion. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have, yeah.
Thank you. Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
So we'll move on to our action items. Action item A, 11-01-2019, adopt 2020 budget.
That's
fine. So Councilor, can I ask a question of staff? Which items are posted on the website right now?
Everything here is posted on the website. Except for D and F. Oh, they're on the joke. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, that's right, the whole packet.
Yeah.
They weren't printed, yeah, so we didn't have them in our packet. But we have this now.
And can you tell me when they went on the website?
Well, so they were posted, but we updated them as things went. So
I was on yesterday morning.
So I believe we still have a change to do to the budget that the commissioners were going to possibly do.
Right.
So I'm wondering if we should table that and have a, is it called table? What is it called?
Well,
if we have a change to the budget.
Okay, you can table it. And based on, you know, feedback, we could you can approve it.
We could do a special meeting early next week if the commission is on board with that at our regular Tuesday. Would that work for both of you?
I think it does.
Because I believe we had an adjustment to that.
Well, there was. One thing we talked about in...
So we're talking about making the Tuesday, December 3rd, work session into a special meeting.
Into a special meeting.
Correct. Right. If that works for both of you, and we'll put that on the agenda for approval of that.
Yeah.
Also, just a quick, there are two things. One, so we're trying to update our distribution lists. So we can, if we have your email, you'll get the documents ahead of time as soon when they come out. And in some cases, some documents we'll just send them out to people that specifically have asked for those to be notified.
Like an interested party list where we just have a usual group of people that we've sent all information out to.
And for example, I want to thank Brian and Lynn Anderson. They reviewed the budget and they found a number of in details as well as some other actually more important things that we amended and changed as a result of their review, for example, and other people if they've looked at it. So it's we're open to people actually reviewing the work and as it goes in progress in some cases. Just keep in mind, some of these are drafts and they're work in progress until they're really finalized and approved by commission. But we have ongoing review by folks, and they all have their areas of expertise. So, open to that. And thanks to the Andersons, I would appreciate it. We incorporated, I think, every change that they or every edit and change that they looked at, they brought to our attention. We reviewed it thoroughly. And it was substantive. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, just to verify, was it the budget, the capital budget, and the rate schedule that all went on yesterday morning?
No, they've been on. The only thing that got added yesterday morning was an adjustment to the tax levy rate, so E and F.
Yep. E and F. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, everything else has been on there.
Since yesterday. Okay, so it went on last week then.
One thing I found in relation to the port website is that if you haven't refreshed the web page, it often will take you back to a previous iteration that you opened, especially if it's on your cell phone. So if you look at the website on a regular PC, it refreshes. But if you like, I have a Google phone, that I use, and it somehow I would be looking at something that's like, where is it? So everybody said, oh, it's on the website. It's like, then I figured out I had to refresh that site. So that may be something to look at, because the marina rate study has been on the, I know it's been on for a week and a bit now.
And as far as the calendar reference, it's been referenced that this is the action that we're taking. So that's been on there a couple months of November,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the agenda itself is just 24 hours in advance.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
So I just want to clarify. So the budget, the capital budget, and the rate schedule, how long have they been on the website?
Since early November.
Okay. I wanted to verify. Since
the notification by mail came
yeah.
last week, yep. The last week,
we just sent the notice. Yep, you're right. We just sent a paper notification out to the tenants last week.
Yep.
Okay.
So you've had 4 days.
So.
Right.
When I went to the website, I did not see minutes.
I don't think it goes the other way, so I think we could do these. Not
4 months.
We could do these.
We just incorporate them.
Yeah, I know. But it was,
and then they feed
yeah,
into
the okay. information that I saw financially that I put together and did not match up with the supposed plan.
I think
it's a real difficult thing to do because you
get
a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah, after today, I think there may only be minutes for June that we're missing. I think that's the only month left.
Okay. So my proposal is that in order to give the public time to review, if they choose to, that we table budget, capital budget, and rate schedule and approve on Tuesday of next week.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, review any other comments we received too, and just be able to see all that information and be able to respond as well, I think. And then Mr. Romero, who had provided the letter last time, I think I'd like to see that he gets a response as well in that meantime. I think we owe him that as well.
And we have an adjustment to make to the budget, we're pretty sure.
Yes.
So that
yeah.
would play into that.
Yeah.
And if the commissioners are all available for the Tuesday meeting
mm-hmm.
at 9 or 8:30 or 8, what works?
I wonder if we should make it at 9 because if we do it here,
yeah.
I think that's more convenient for people. Plus, if we have PA or anything like
okay.
that's necessary, we can. But we'll have to make sure we can get the space here.
Let us know, Wendy, and yeah.
And when we do that, will we also have another public hearing at, or basically leave it at comments?
I think we're going to leave it at comments. We've already had two public hearings.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to move down to D, which is Approval Resolution 1104-2019, Adopt 2020 Comprehensive and Recreational Plan. Comprehensive Plan of Harbor Improvement. 2019 to 2024. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
No. Aye.
She passes. Move down to approve amendment to Resolution 1005-2019 to change amount to $211,378. I believe that's the tax levy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And we should probably just have a quick little... We we should have a quick discussion on that just to go over it. I think that might be helpful.
So should I have a motion and a second before we go into discussion?
Yeah, I
think we had a motion and a second.
Did I?
Yeah, I moved and you seconded.
Oh, thank you.
I think we're okay.
Pass right over that. Any discussion?
Let's just kind of talk about what this is. This resolution, where is it?
What's this?
It's a correction from a previous resolution that we had done in October. And that particular dollar amount is a correction on both the dollar amount and the rate increase that is allowed by through our interaction with the county treasurer, as I understand.
Yep.
And then through the it's warranted under RCW 8455, and the levy certification.
Yeah.
Is this component. So RCW 8452020 allows the ports to do this essential rate increase for our ratepayers. And as I recall, the dollar amount was incorrect in that previous resolution from October. So we're just doing a revised amendment to that previous resolution to make that correction.
Yep.
That's all I had.
Any more comments?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's E and F. 10/05.
E and F, yes.
10/05/2019 and 10/06/2019. Okay. So we're back to our public comment period, and we have the Andersons left.
I really enjoyed seeing those when I came in.
I was a little fearful, first of all.
Yeah.
Any other time for Thanksgiving,
yeah. Okay. We'll take that to heart.
So we're going to move on to our commissioner reports. Do the commissioners have any reports that they would like to share?
Yeah, I'd like to make a couple of update comments. One is that the Lindbaugh project, the Lindbaugh Parking Remote Ferry Holding Lot project, had its first official meeting of the entire consulting team and the member agencies to share and work through some of the implications of the first step in the work. So we're engaged, we're underway. Yeah, so I wanted to say that. And the second thing is that I wanted to comment on is that the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, of which the port is a newly voted member as of the 1st of January, Laura and I went to the legislative reception that they hold annually, and I came away with an ever stronger sense of how important it is for us to be at that table with our legislators, with fellow elected officials in Kitsap County. And one of the things we're going to need to do between now and January 1st is determine who among us is going to be serving on each of the many boards that they have going, and I just think we're going to gain a whole lot and contribute a whole lot, so that'll be January 1.
It's so important that we're at that table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to know that we're here.
There's a whole issue recently in the latest update of the 20 to 30 year plan for the whole region that the Puget Sound Regional Council does. They designated a number of communities throughout the region
as high-capacity transit hubs and transit communities, which now we are. And I think it's from that perspective that we'll be able to have some good leverage in terms of some of the things that go on, in terms of funding and that sort of thing. So that's the plan.
Commissioner Heacock?
The only thing I can add to that, I did observe a couple of things going on with the Lindbach project. One of them was that I saw a cultural resources assessment team out there a couple of weeks back now, and they had all the right gear and everything. They were starting some test pits and doing some discovery and things like that. Probably more particularly important on the county-related project property, because that had never been looked at before. That was not in the ownership, if you will, of the group in the past. So the cultural resources assessment on that property is particularly critical to perform. The DOT properties were researched very, very carefully, I think. But I believe they're redoing that as well. And then I think you'll see boring test equipment and some geotechnical studies happening here pretty soon as well. So I thought that's really exciting. When you see people out on the property and looking around actively, that's really good to know. The other thing to note, I think, are the annual Washington Public Ports Association meeting. I had some excellent takeaways from that particular meeting. One of them that I found fascinating was the fact that with the onset of more and more electric vehicles, it's looking like the state is trying to think about how to revise the gas tax deficiencies in those kinds of vehicles. So I attended a couple of things. One of them was, one event was with, I think it was the deputy DOT transportation manager at the state level. And we also talked about, you know, ideas of how to track mileage for people so that then their mileage within the state would be on a kind of a weighted scale and perhaps be a next mechanism to figure out. Maybe we get rid of the gas tax and go to more of a user-based, a direct usage-based. Because electric vehicles still have drive wheels that impact the pavement. So, you know, to go more to a system like that. Oregon apparently is doing it. I think that California is looking at it as well. And it makes sense to have this multi-state approach as well to look at how that's going to perform. And just some of the little benefits that we get by going to those annual meetings is that we become involved in all sorts of things that are happening for the future as well. I'd like to just be able to report things like that. And then the other thing that I think was really exciting is the All-American retreat that we had, where we came up with our new purpose statement. And that particular activity, I thought, was not only beneficial to get an idea of, you know, how we reached the community, but it also made our port a community as well. I felt really, really strong that we all came together in that particular two-day seminar event, and really I feel that we really meshed and not only created a great product, but created a great nexus to how we all work together as well. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Commissioner Hiko.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
I think it's important to have the perspective that 1 year ago, You were here. I was here. You were here.
I was here a year ago, yep.
But basically, everybody else, I think a couple of the people in the port raised world.
Yeah.
But basically, the administrative staff, et cetera, all new. And people say, well, why haven't you done X, Y, Z? Well, because we've been busy doing QXR. So.
Sorry, Mark.
Yeah.
But I think it's a huge accomplishment that we've restructured and the team is really powerful and strong.
Yeah, and cohesive too.
Yeah. We love you guys. Just say something bad.
I wanted to talk about the conference that Commissioner Heacock and I and Greg attended just this last week. We were gone for 4 days, and I left a day early because I wanted to go and sit in on the new commissioner part of it. Even though I already had sat on it 2 years ago, I thought it was always good to refresh and always good to know what's expected of you and what you should be thinking about as a commissioner. And I also saw Tuesday morning the petite vehicles alongside the road on the property doing surveying, so I saw them Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And some of the things that, some of the just statements that came out that really resonated with me at this conference, what decisions do we need to make today to make sure that 20 years from now, people will look back and say, darn, they did a good job. I'm glad they did that. Because I know that some of the decisions we're making now, people right now aren't going to look that way at it. But it's not about the here and now always. Another one was that the public needs to understand the value and the benefit, for us to be transparent, for us to be upfront, for us to tell them, to engage our community, and that it's a slow, challenging process to engage the community, but it's something we have to do, that we're trying to. The past is not the path to the future. I like that one.
Yeah,
I do too.
Position ourselves strategically for the future. And during our conferences, they give us all sorts of information, not just about ports. They also give us about legislatively what is going on. The seats up for election this next year are the governor, the attorney general, all 10 congressional seats, all statewide office. There are 8 that are up. Supreme Court, 3 out of the 9 justices are up. There are, in the House, there are 57 Democratic seats and 41 Republican seats up. In the Senate, there are 29 Democratic seats and 20 Republican seats that are up. So it's really fascinating. This shows you a range of what they give us at these conferences. It's really, they're wonderful, absolutely wonderful. We have a really good group. And my parting comment is that I'm really glad that we're not a part of the Port of Oakland, because the Port of Oakland, the mayor appoints the commissioners, and then port money is diverted and not used for the port. So that's just a parting comment there. Really glad that we have a different dynamic and function here and how we operate budget-wise. That being said, we're going to move on to staff comments. Wendy?
We've been working on the budget a lot, with the auditors also. Had a phone call from her. There was a few little notes she wanted me to change, and then she said that our wrap-up, she was hoping for the end of the year, but she would let me know. So I don't have an exit for an interview or exit interview, whatever they call it.
Oh, it's not organized yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
But I'll let everyone know as soon as they can. And on another note, I've been watching the whole process of the Christmas lights, and I can't wait for December 7th to get here. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it. It's so cool.
the window and part of the team to watch it happen.
Thank you, Wendy. Tara?
Yeah, so just us the team with the budget and the comp plan, just in Greg and Wendy with, you know, all our hard work they've been putting in, and trying to get us all caught up on our meeting minutes so those can be all posted and be caught up on those, and then made a few website updates, getting all this information online, and I got our new purpose statement and our core values on the website. And then, yeah, I second what Wendy said. It's just an amazing experience to work here and to see Brian and staff out there in the Christmas tree, and I'm really looking forward to this holiday season.
Thank you, Tara.
Thanks.
Ray?
Hi. I'm Ray. So I want to thank you guys for showing up. I've been accustomed to it, and I figured I'd have the naysayers here, which we expect, and I try to talk to them out in the public like I do, and let them know some of their complaints, their issues. One guy can say something about a boat here. Well, another person that's sitting right there, he's part of the issue that he's talking about. So it's fun for me to listen to these people here that I've been dealing with for a long time and watch them. That's my vote, the guy's talking. And certainly, that's the truth to be told. As far as the gentleman over here talking about charging for $5 or whatnot, when people come to the marina, it's a security issue too. And so it doesn't matter if they got a $3 million boat sitting out there or a $26 boat out there, there's still a security issue for us to have to keep our eye on. Some of the boaters that come in with their dinghy can bring 6 bags of garbage in. And so for him to think that, gentlemen to think that it's okay is not okay, because it takes port staff to have to smash that dumpster, and we pay the worst taxpayers here to allow somebody else to come in here. So that's not a valid critique on his part. As far as the mooring balls on the other side go, I wish he was here. I'll talk to him. Him and I have our conversations. But I'll talk to him about that. That's not ever going to happen either. I mean, those mooring balls are there for a reason. But anyway, I wanted to thank Greg and all the staff and the commissioners for considering our budget. Our budget has been thought out over and over again. This gentleman here has lost a lot of sleep over it. As far as the comp plan goes and stuff like that, as far as raising the marina rates, I'm 100% on board with it. I get out in the public in the marina and see a breakwater. Port Arthur's talked about putting a breakwater in out there. It's gone from $11 million to $15 million for them to put one in out there. I'm watching our basalt. After so many years, basalt gives out. So the heavy basalt that's been holding all this up is crumpling, so everything else comes down. It's going underneath our docks. Our docks are getting challenged right now. The retaining wall, basalt, at the very base of it, it's starting to break loose too. So that's an issue. You get higher water coming in with climate change. I mean, a lot of this dynamic. So for us to prepare for the future is really critical right now. And one step is raising the marina rates. And granted, Greg, he's pushed a lot of pen on that paper right there trying to figure this out and get it right and make it fair for everybody. But I just hope that people know, and I'm reaching out to them in the community here in the marina, they know that we're not just doing this to pad our bank account. This is for the future of that marina to be there. I mean the docks are, they're, you go down ADOC, I'd like to take some of these people that have their challenges with the marina rates going up. Hey, I'll show you where this money's going to go, and it's going to go sooner than later to correct the issues that we have to still be a valuable place for people to come in and enjoy your boats. As far as some of the boats that are down there, yeah, I'm getting notices out to people. And there is a boat that's down there that I've always been kind of soft on. I need to step up my game in order to make that happen as far as what Mr. Strickland is saying. It's down in your dock, and I know you guys know what boat it is down there. And I need to step up my game instead of being partial toward this person, which I can say I probably have been. But it's like Greg said, we have to be consistent, you have to be fair. Everybody's got to be in the same playing field, and that way you don't get yourself into trouble. So that's on me. I accept that. Our Christmas lights, it's going wonderfully. I mean, we're trying to not put everything out there as fast as we can, but I'm trying to get it out there. But I think the day after Thanksgiving is going to be a big day for all of us. So, and then we have a new staff in there. The challenges we have is that for them to understand certain things that a previous staff member who's no longer with us, God rest his soul, was very aware of how to do. So we're hoping it's going to be as magical as it has been in the past. If it's a little bit less than I hope people can accept it, but it's still going to be something very special. And I thank the commissioners for allowing Greg to allow me to get the things that I need to get to make this thing, or have my staff get out there to make this a special time.
And no complaints about the cost of Christmas,
there's always that genuine step from all of us to make this happen, and then I just want everybody in the community, if you see anybody that's a naysayer, just let them know that we're working our butts off, you know, the commissioners, to Greg, to me, to my staff, to everybody, to make this really a special time, and we're trying to make that happen. So, and I can't thank you guys enough for what you do.
I know what we hear is very positive comments from people. If we're talking to people on the guest talk, nothing but positive about how they love Kingston. They love coming here.
But if you walk the guest talk, like, you just start to show some strain on the dog.
We want to keep it here.
So for us to keep that, we have to assert ourselves and get it out there. And Greg understands it, and commissioners understand it, and we're helping them understand it. And it comes from all of us, but if we keep a happy, united family out here, more people just got to understand it. Your car, you got to get it to the bottom once in a while. I want to thank you guys, and thank you, you know, for everything. We're going to have a special Thanksgiving, too. So, yeah, thank you.
Greg?
Yeah, I think... And I'd say that's something I'm going to have to work on, and the staff. It's just, Rome wasn't built in a day, but communicating and trying to be even more transparent, and so that people actually, get the information maybe in advance even further, so they can look at it. It's not as exact as everybody, they just like, so it's really difficult to say, there is not a silver bullet. There's a range of options, and they're all interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't so simple. I mean, some things are simple, but small things have large effects potentially. Even like the Christmas lights are iconic, really, for Kingston at this point. I would characterize it as, and I came here, and I live down the road, and I had little kids, so I'm trying to remember if I came over here, but, if I had a family or kids, or even if I didn't, people come here, and it engages people in Kingston in the winter, and up until, and then it becomes, builds awareness, and I think it's good for the businesses, but it's just, sometimes, maybe there's no tangible value, it's just a feel-good thing that really is really a neat thing for the community and brings a lot of people together. So I think there's an intangible value to that is actually amazing. This year, we're going to definitely try to do, we are going to make improvements on how we communicate, what we communicate, and being more transparent, using the website. And it's hard because different people want information differently.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be all things to all people when you only have 10 staff. And I'm not a expert at, I say this is a weakness. I'm not a communication expert, but I recognize the value of it, and I recognize when you hear feedback, because we are really, we do try to be transparent, and you see it, and we try to, we're open to suggestions and review that totally. And also, I'm open, we acknowledge a lot of things that we could change, just that the rate of change and, when you're trying to rezone a piece of property so that you can use it for parking or do different things and generate revenue. But even some of those things come under criticism in a big way to some folks, right? So I don't know if we have all the answers, but I think we're working in the right direction. And I have to say, I want to publicly thank the commission, and I've told this to other people that, and you go into WPPA, you see a lot of ports, almost all the ports are represented at those things, and if you go to a few of them, you're going to get a cross-section of every port, and I would say that the dynamic between this commission and the community is not that commonly found, and also the very mission-oriented of all three of them is not common. I hope that people don't take it for granted. I have a different perspective because I've worked with a lot of different commissioners and I've been in different areas, but I think it's very unique and it's one of the great attractions, and that and the staff. And You know, we always talk about Ray kind of creates that culture of the organization. And when we did the retreat, the one thing that was really noticeable by the facilitator that that Mary actually put together and found and brought them in, and they turned out to be, I wasn't really sure at all actually, but they turned out to be very good, exceptional. But their observation was they never see this kind of result from organizations. They've done hundreds of organizations of how tight the staff were in terms of values, as well as the commission took a survey. And they said, you know, you do word clouds and they're usually like massive and they have all these things that people come in. Ours was so tight and had so few. The guy was like, I've only had one organization that would be comparable to the Port of Kingston.
It's a blind survey too.
It's a blind survey. There's only one that I can think of, and that was after we went through a facilitation process that helped bring them together. He says it's pretty remarkable, and I just want to thank the commission because they've also been supportive of some of the things that I've recommended that may not be popular. I'll own that, and sometimes we've made mistakes too through the year, and I own those too. So it doesn't make me feel good, but you learn from it and you move forward, and we'll have a really good year this coming year regardless. And I think I'd like to add more value to everybody in the community. I think if we can do that and also increase understanding of what we do and who we are and what we stand for, I think that by communicating that, it's kind of like what Dr. Osborne said. I don't think anybody's going to argue really with that we're all trying to get a good result here. I think if we all give each other the benefit of the doubt, start there, and then the method and means we'll probably argue over a little bit, But the outcomes, I think that's one thing that unifies everybody here, and I appreciate them. Everybody's been very, very welcoming, actually, for the moment to me. So I just want to thank everybody. This is my
1 year today.
1 year today.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 year today.
I started 1 year
that's
ago.
Right.
Today.
Yeah.
This was my first day a year ago. So. Yeah, I was looking at my watch. I realized it was exactly 1 year. So thank you. Thank you, Ray, Wendy, and Tara, and all the staff there. They're awesome. Austin and Joe and everybody, Jeanette, Faith. You're fantastic, Ray.
The tenants, Anderson. Thank you.
And the tenants. The customers are really part of our port family.
So that being said, we're going to recess to executive session. There probably will be action after the executive session. We're recessing at 11:31. Do I have a motion? Do I need a motion to recess?
No.
Yes.
No?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to recess to executive session, and we will be back in 30 minutes at 12:01.